So in Thy Kingdom Come, as you'll probably know, is taken from the Lord's Prayer. And there's a bit in there that says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So let's just take a moment to reflect on what we need forgiving for, but also on who we need to forgive. Wash me clean from all of my sin and guilt. Lord, have mercy. You are really the one I have sinned against. I have disobeyed you and have done wrong. Christ, have mercy. Create pure thoughts in me and make me faithful again. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sin, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading is, if you want to read it when you get home, is from Genesis 37 all the way through to Genesis 47. But you'll be pleased to know, I have a slightly shorter version. And there are some pictures on the screen so you can visualise what we're reading as well. So it's about Joseph and his family. There was famine in the land. Now, for those of you that don't know, a famine is a time when no plants grow and people don't have enough food to eat. But there was one place where there was plenty of food to eat, and that place was Egypt. Now, Egypt had enough food because Joseph was in charge. He had correctly interpreted a dream for the Pharaoh. So he knew that Egypt had to store grains in the years before the famine had come. Joseph told everyone to save some of the grain when there was a little extra. So when the famine came, Egypt had enough food stored. Joseph was very wealthy, and he had a family too. And he was second in command only to the Pharaoh. But it had not always been this way for Joseph. Many years before, he was living in Canaan with his father and his brothers. His brothers had been so angry with him that they sold him as a slave. Joseph's father did not know that Joseph had been sold as a slave. He thought Joseph was dead. But now, Joseph's brothers and father were in trouble. Because of the famine, they did not have enough food. So Joseph's father sent his 10 oldest sons to Egypt to buy grain, leaving the youngest son, Benjamin, at home with him. The brothers didn't recognize Joseph when they saw him, but he knew who they were. Since the Pharaoh had put Joseph in charge of the grain, his brothers had to ask him for it. Joseph was a very important man, so the brothers all bowed before him to ask for the grain. This brought back memories for Joseph. Years ago, when he was just a boy, he used to tell his brothers about the dreams he was having. In my dreams, we were all sheaves of grain, all of you bowed down to me. We're older than you, they'd said. We'll never bow down to you. But look at them now. All of his brothers were bowing down to him to ask him for grain. Joseph was glad to see his brothers, but he wanted to know if they still hated him like they used to. He wanted to know if they were sorry for what they had done to him. Joseph didn't tell them who he was. He told them he would give them grain as long as they brought Benjamin back with them next time. He said that Simeon should stay with him until they came back. The brothers took their bags of grain and went home. On the way home, the brothers looked in their bags of grain and were shocked to find not only the grain, but their silver too. They were afraid. That silver is what they had paid the Egyptians for the grain. What if the Egyptians thought they had stolen the silver? They didn't know that Joseph had put the money in their bags to test them. As time went by, all the grain was used up, and Jacob and his family became hungry again. Jacob didn't want the brothers to take his youngest son Benjamin to Egypt, but he knew that if Benjamin didn't go, then the official in charge of the grain would not give them any. Benjamin said goodbye to his father and went with his brothers. Joseph was so happy to see his brother Benjamin, but he still did not tell the brothers who he was. They still thought he was just an important Egyptian. They had no idea that he was their brother, Joseph. The brothers tried to give them money back from the last time, but Joseph's servants would not take it. The brothers were very confused. Joseph held a large feast for all of his brothers, but he was not yet ready to tell them who he really was. He had to make sure they understood that what they had done to him was wrong. This time, when the brothers left to go back home, Joseph tested them again. Joseph secretly told his workers to put all of their payment money into the bags of grain that they were taking home to Jacob. He also told them to put his own expensive silver cup in Benjamin's bag. Then Joseph sent his brothers on their way home. Joseph waited a little while, and then he sent his officials after his brothers. When the officials found the money and the cup, they brought all of the brothers back to Joseph. Joseph told them that it looked as if Benjamin stole his cup. Benjamin would have to stay and be a slave in Egypt. Joseph's brother Judah begged him not to keep Benjamin. "It will make my father so sad. First, my father's favourite son Joseph was taken from him. Now he will die if we tell him that his son Benjamin is gone too." When he heard about his father and about how sorry his brothers were for hurting him, Joseph broke down. He saw that they really loved their father. Joseph said, "Don't you understand? I am Joseph." What a shock. Joseph's brothers were so happy to see their brother again. They were sorry that they had been so mean to him before. Joseph forgave his brothers. Even though they had been mean to him when he was younger, he would not stay angry with them. He would not hold a grudge. Joseph invited all of his brothers to come to live in Egypt, where there was plenty of food. So the brothers went back to Canaan and told their father the good news. "Joseph is alive." Jacob and all of his family moved to Egypt to be with Joseph. Even the Pharaoh was happy for Joseph. He met Joseph's father and he agreed that he and his family should live in the land of Goshen in Egypt. Joseph forgave his brothers and always took care of his family. Even though there was a famine, Joseph's father and brothers were all safe in Egypt.
So we have been following a series for the last five weeks, including this week. What has the cross achieved for us? Ooh, that was loud. I won't look down. what has the cross achieved for us? And we started off looking at sin and forgiveness. Then we looked at guilt and taking away our guilt. We looked at purification and how we're made pure through the work of Jesus on the cross. Last week, a big word, atonement, making us as at one with God. I always love that, at-one-ment, way of thinking about that word. And the last one we're going to think about is fellowship. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but although we've thought about all these things, they're all the Old Testament offerings that used to be made in the temple. A sin offering, a guilt offering, a purification offering, an atonement offering. The last one, sometimes translated as a fellowship offering, sometimes translated as a peace offering. So I was caught between those two words of fellowship and peace. Fellowship and peace. And we've started thinking about both of those really this morning. Now, I do need to ask, was anyone here last week? Yeah. Because, well, something happened last week. Who wasn't here last week? Okay, some people weren't here. I don't really feel that I'm the one to explain what happened last week. Is there someone who is brave enough to come and tell us what I might have done last week? Anybody? Pardon? Greedy? Now, you're going to have to give us a bit more than that, Dennis. I'll make sure everyone can hear. So Dennis is at the back. If you want to stand up, turn around and look at him to embarrass him, that's absolutely fine. Come on then, Dennis. What happened last week?
Trevor had a candy bar out front that he was going to save for later, and you just snatched it and ate it off of him.
I what?
You took the candy bar and
I took the candy bar. That's a chocolate bar for those of us who are not from Texas. Sorry, Texas. I might have taken a chocolate bar that wasn't really intended for me. And it was very nice, I do have to say. But I might have been feeling a little bit bad all week about it. And do you know what? I was worrying because there were three people involved in this. Because it was Tim's chocolate bar. He's not here this morning. Trevor had bought it, and then Matt had to pay the price by buying another one. And I know they're all good Christians, but they might have still been angry. So when I read the word peace offering, I thought, oh, I know what a peace offering is. So here we go. I'd like to present a peace offering to Trevor. And where's Matt? Matt, I'm not going to throw it because there's small children between me and you. Just in case. There we go. That'll do. There you go. Thank you, Matt. And there's two here for Tim. You're here on Tim's behalf. No. I don't think so, Graham. I don't think so. So I'm going to make sure that he gets these. I'll leave them with the music stuff, and we'll make sure no one else gets them, because no one has been primed this morning to come and steal them, Graham. Peace offering. But that's not... That's what we think of as a peace offering, isn't it? So often that we make an offering to try and make things right. And actually, that's not what the Bible is talking about when the Bible talks about a peace offering. A peace offering is more like some of the things that Joseph did for his brothers. It doesn't use those terms because in the language of the time and in the sense of the Bible, it's not an offering, because an offering would be to God. But a peace offering, something between them. There were a few times that Joseph's brothers got really, really confused. Like, they were going home and they found money in the sacks. I think there's two motivations there. One of them is that Joseph was trying to test his brothers to see what they would do. But also, he didn't have to put all the money back. He could have put one bag in one brother's bag, and that would have performed the same test. Instead, he was generous. He provided all the money back. A bit later on, they had a meal. I can't remember, because I was thinking more about what I was going to say rather than listening to what Julie was saying, so my apologies. But Benjamin, when Joseph threw that meal for all the brothers, Benjamin got 5 times as much as all the other brothers. I can't remember if that was in the... No, it wasn't actually in what Julie read. But he gave Benjamin 5 times as much. Benjamin was his true brother. The other brothers were his half-brothers. But even the fact that he threw this feast for them was confusing. It didn't make sense. And then again, their money was provided back, and then there's the final test. But Joseph was doing things for his brothers because he could. He was doing things to bring them into fellowship and to celebrate the fellowship that they were going to have. I have another way of illustrating this. Julie. She knows nothing. Have a seat. Have a seat. I don't trust you. You don't trust me? Well, you should. Because I know that these are Julie's favourites. And I also know that sometimes we like to sit down and watch the telly. And so I've bought a box of these so we could sit down and we'll watch the telly. We put a film on. Don't mind us, we'll be here a couple of hours while we watch, and we'll share. Would you like to open them? Yeah. Thought you might. And we will share. It's a meal of sorts, a nice meal, something that I know Julie will appreciate. Yeah. Would you like one for sharing? You can tell I didn't prime her, can't you? For sharing. We will sit and we will eat together. And actually, thank you, don't eat them all. You can eat them all. You can share them, you can do what you like with them. Because a fellowship offering in the Bible was more about saying to God, we're in fellowship with you, we invite you, God, to come and have fellowship with us, to sit at our table with us, to be part of our gathering. It almost sounds a bit weird to me because, who are we to invite God? Who are we that God would be mindful of us? There's a beautiful psalm, isn't there? Who am I that you are mindful of me? Enjoy the chocolates. There aren't that many of them. I'm sorry, I didn't buy enough for everyone. And at the back, waving at you, Julie. But Jesus, when he came, was the ultimate model of fellowship, because he came to earth and he lived with us. He ate with people, he drank with people, he walked around with people. He did everything that you and I do, everything that the disciples did, he got involved with. He didn't set himself apart and say, I am God, I am Jesus, you go and do everything that I say, and I will take my place as Lord of all, which he is. But instead he came and he had fellowship with people. We talk about Jesus offering himself once for all on the cross, don't we? It's one of the lines in various parts of our liturgy. Jesus came in every single sense of the Old Testament offerings. He came as a sin offering for the whole world, so that yours and my sins can be forgiven. He came to take our guilt away. He came to purify us. He came to atone for everything that we have done and bring us at one with God again. And he came in fellowship, to have fellowship with us, to be fellowship, to build the bridge, so that we can be in fellowship with God forever. That is the glorious message of the cross. That is the amazing message of the cross. A fellowship offering or a peace offering between us and God. So we are then at one again. And we can sit, and we will sit, that everyone who accepts Jesus will sit at his table in heaven. And we will all feast. Food is important. I like to think that maybe there's going to be a band that the Almighty will put together, and all of us musicians all of us musicians, because we all make a pleasing sound to God, will praise God in all sorts of ways. There are so many ways, so many things that we can't possibly imagine yet, all made possible because Jesus came to bring us into fellowship with God. The sin kept us away. The sin kept us away, and there was no way back from that other than through Jesus. The guilt makes us feel bad. And we don't need to be feeling bad any longer, because that guilt, that feeling bad, makes us turn away. So with our sin, God has to turn his face from us. With our guilt, we turn our face away from God. And Jesus brings us back together. He purifies us so we can stand before God and be brought back together into fellowship with him. The cross is central, and the cross achieves all of it. Sort of take a seat, because underneath some of your seats you might find we've hidden something. They're blue. If nobody can find them, Beth knows exactly where she put them. I have no idea. Ah, yes, that's one. Yeah, I'm afraid you have to bring it forward. No, you can bring it. No hiding behind the closest available child, although the closest available child can come with you if you want. Is there only one? There's another five somewhere. There might need to be some checking of pews that are not having anyone sitting on them, I suspect. Yeah. See, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing, he said two things. He started off with love, blue tack. Jesus did not say blue tack was the most important thing. The most important thing, Jesus said, was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But then he said something else. Feel free to come right up, because people are going to need to see this. He didn't stop there, because he said the second most important thing is this. Love others as much as you love yourselves. That's where I want to be thinking about in this part of the service, where we're thinking about other people. Because if we truly love God... Is there anyone here who can put their hand up and say, yeah, I truly love God? And he says, if you truly love me, you need to love other people. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for other people all around the world. Now, the reason we've done this, or I've done this, it might be known as a jigsaw with one piece missing. There's always a piece missing in a jigsaw. Beth, you know where you put them, so you're going to have to go looking for them. She's got the instructions. She's very, very organised. We did this because there are so many things going on in the world, and yet what God calls us to do is all to unite in fellowship, loving the world around us. It was in the song we just sang, wasn't it? This is what I want my church to be. A group of people worldwide that loves each other. She's still looking. We can almost see what it says. Can you see what it says?
Fellowship
because of the cross. Some of the things going on in the world at the moment. We've got in this country. How long can it take? That one's gone, Beth. That here in the UK, we've got this thing called Brexit. Now, I'm not going to say anything about which side is right or which side is wrong or what we think, but it has divided our country, hasn't it? It's divided people. It's even divided families. We've got elections that have been going on across Europe, which have kind of been mixed in this country in with Brexit, but for the rest of Europe is really, really important. And potentially for us is really, really important, because who knows what's going to happen with Brexit. I got a WhatsApp call from a friend of mine just over a week ago. It was the night before our European elections, because she was really worried about the elections going on in India and who was going to be elected as president of India. There's division there. It's not just here. On Friday, I was shocked to learn this. On Friday was the 150th mass shooting in America in 2019, in this year. In Burkina Faso, in Africa, there have been at least 5 attacks on Christians, several of them during church services, just in the last month. There's war in Syria. There are so many things, aren't there, in the world where there is division. I don't need to go on, because each of us will know of different things that are maybe a bit closer to our hearts, a bit closer to what we know about. So, where is the church in this? Is the church truly coming together? So I wanted to pray this morning for these situations and for the church to come together. Let's do that first. Maybe it's good we're missing a piece. Maybe it's a good reminder to us that actually the church needs to find its missing piece, and the church needs to unite behind the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've just brought a few things to mind that I just picked up off the BBC news pages. Lord, we know that this country is divided through what's going on with Brexit. Will you help this country to unite, Lord? You are a God of fellowship and a God of peace who calls the church to be the uniting force in this world. So where there have been elections anywhere in the world, Lord, will you enable your people to rise up as agents to bring consolidation and bringing people together where there is division? Lord, for what's going on in America, we remember the families and friends of those who have been killed just in the latest of these terrible things that happen, Lord. We pray for that country, that something will happen to unite that country to say, no, this is going to stop. And that the country will unite to make things different. We pray for our brothers and sisters in countries where they are persecuted. We pray for those who've been attacked in Burkina Faso recently, but worldwide, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters, and may they be united with us. We thank you for the wonders of modern technology that allow us to get closer to them. Encourage us all, Lord, where we know people who are not in this country, to get together with them, to pray with them, Lord, in ways that weren't possible before. That all our prayers will ascend to you, and they will feel the support from us, and we will feel support from them. For the places in this world, Lord, where there is war, will you bring peace? Put your people in places of power, Lord, to bring peace, to bring change. Just take a moment. If there are situations that you know of, whether they're really local things, maybe it's even in your family, maybe it's in your circle of friends, maybe it's halfway around the world, just in the quiet, just lift those to God now. Lord, we thank you that you hear every one of our prayers. But Lord, what you left us with was not to do nothing, but you left us with a mission to bring your word and to bring your life to the people of this world, Lord. So will you challenge us? Will you challenge us to what we can do? In all situations, Lord, there are things that we can do. Whether it's on our knees, whether it's in our pockets, whether it's getting on our feet and going and doing something, Lord, will you challenge us and show us what it is you want us to do to bring your fellowship and your peace, that, Lord, we may truly be able to celebrate with you as the world comes before you and the world knows your name, for we know that every knee will bow before you, Lord. Let them bow willingly. Let them bow because you are awesome, you are amazing, you are powerful. You are the one who saves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And as we look around, Lord, I pray for every person here who you have revealed to them what it is you want them to do. Give them the strength this week, Lord, to follow it through. Walk with them, Lord. Amen. Thank you.